Just sounds kind of funny coming out of me, doesn't it? But your pastor doesn't lie, so I'll be brief. You better listen up. Matthew chapter 1, title of this message tonight is The Son of Man is Come. The Son of Man is Come. Matthew chapter 1, we're just going to read a few verses. On Sunday, I read the account out of Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And Matthew chapter 1, we're just going to read four verses total tonight here. Verse 18, Matthew 1, verse 18 reads this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's important. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost in verse 18, end of verse 18. And then it said, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we've talked about Christ being born, and at this time of year, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As in the Gospel of Luke's account, the Bible talked about it being foretold of the prophets. Write these verses down if you don't know them or make a note of them someplace. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, that is the verse that says that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse number 2 reads this way, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Y'all know that the word Bethlehem means the house of bread, right? Beith Lechem, Bethlehem. Beith being the house of, and Lechem, Hamosi Lechem, that's the who brings forth the bread from the ground. We just prayed it in Hebrew a moment ago. Bethlehem, the house of bread. The bread of God was born or manifested in the house of bread, Bethlehem. And y'all, I know that you do catch it when I pray the prayer over the bread. Who brings forth the bread from the ground? Oh, it's so symbolic. Because he is our provider. He provides our bread, if you will. He created this earth and he provides our bread. However, when every time I say that brings forth the bread from the ground, I think of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Can I hear an amen? I'll tell you, that even supersedes him providing for us with our daily bread, as we say. But this was foretold of the prophets. We see it in Micah 5, verse 2. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, I know that you know these verses, but you need to hear them. Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now that doesn't happen. A virgin does not conceive without the help of a man, right? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Pastor John just sang the song, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means covenant God with us, but literally, I mean, it means God with us, and you'll find a footnote of that, but literally it's covenant God with us or covenant making God with us. I love that. So Jesus is born. It was foretold of the prophets. The Bible said that he was circumcised after 8 days. It takes 8 days for the blood to be able to coagulate on its own. Nowadays, they'll give him a shot of something to make the blood coagulate quicker. But in Bible days and just in the natural, it takes about 8 days for that property to be present where the blood will coagulate. And when they did the circumcision, that the child wouldn't just bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed. Born of a virgin, we've spoken of that. Whew, man. Mary was a virgin. She was overshadowed from on high. We celebrate this, the fulfillment of what the prophets spoke of, born of a virgin. The prophets brought it out. He would be circumcised after 8 days. I mean, it all happened like clockwork. But when God is involved in something, his word comes to pass. Amen? It does come to pass. I love that where it says he was begotten of the Holy Spirit in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. That begotten of the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And what was conceived in her was from on high. Now listen, there are those that want to argue about the fact that, well, it was Mary gave birth to a baby, so that baby had part of Mary in him, in Jesus. There's a common thought that goes around. In fact, when I was raised in the church I was raised in, they had Mary right there with Jesus, on the same level as Jesus. Like Mary was something special like Jesus. Now, we appreciate what Mary did. We appreciate that Mary lived a life that was in line with the covenant, and she was as obedient as somebody could be as a human. But I have news for all of those that think Mary is on the same level as Jesus. She was not. Mary needed a Savior too. Do you hear me? And being raised Catholic, you know, we were taught things about Mary that just were not scriptural. And that was one of them. And Mary needed a Savior. Mary could not have any of her, it couldn't be her DNA in Jesus. Everything had to come from on high. The Holy Spirit, the Father, they planted into Mary's womb a complete package in her. So what was born of her was totally from on high. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam, or the second blood of God. Amen. He was born of a virgin. She never knew a man. She didn't sin. As being a virgin, she had never had sexual relations with anybody. And when Joseph found out she was pregnant, the Holy Spirit, or an angel actually, had to come and talk to him and tell him, don't put her away. What's happened is of God. Because what, gentlemen, what would your first response be if you're about to get married to somebody, you find out she's pregnant, and you know that it wasn't you? You'd want to say, I don't want anything to do with this. So the angel intervened and told Joseph, hey, what's happened is of the Holy Spirit, of God. Praise God. Not enough is talked about Joseph. Joseph was a man of character. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Turn over to Luke 19. Here's where we will spend the next 5-10 minutes, and then we will dismiss. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 1. John, this is your favorite chapter. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of a small stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him in verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Now, I read all of that to read you verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is out of the mouth of our Savior himself, stating what his purpose was when he was born into this earth, when he was sent into the earth, what he came to do. Make a note in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 9 through 11 and verse 16. Those are verses of scripture that say, it was thus saith the Lord, I've come to seek and to save the lost. So when Jesus said this in Luke 19, verse number 10, he was actually proclaiming and making a proclamation of his deity. You guys need to see that in Ezekiel. Run over there quick. Ezekiel 34, I just want to show you, get it down. This is stuff you need to know. This is what the cults will argue with you about, that Jesus was not God in the flesh. But the Bible is very plain. Jesus does it on a number of occasions, and here is one of them. He uses he speaks in the first person. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34. Look at verse number 11. For thus saith the Lord God. Look at this. For thus saith who? The Lord God. Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Do you see that? All right? That and you can read through, but jump to verse 16. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And Jesus says, he didn't say, the Son of Man is come to do, to mimic something. No, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He spoke in the first person, just like he did when he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am. Jesus said, I am. Isaiah writing said the very same thing, but he said, thus saith the Lord, I am the first and the last. That's what the Lord God of Israel said. And Jesus said, I am the first and the last. So now either this man was delusional in thinking that he was something that he wasn't, or in fact, he was God in the flesh. And I'll tell you right now, he was God in the flesh, still is. Amen? His deity, he came. He was the spotless, sinless lamb. He never sinned. And he came. And so it was a proclamation of his deity. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, oh yeah, Son of Man, that phrase is taken from the book of Daniel chapter 7. And I'll just have you write them down again, verses 13 and 14. That's where that came from, who the Son of Man would be. And it again is a proclamation of the deity. God coming into the realm of the earth to accomplish a job that was laid out before him, to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come. He was not forced or compelled. He came out of his own volition. He was, the Bible said, obedient even unto death. That's supernatural right there. That's serious stuff. He came to seek, to seek. It's interesting when you observe the life of Christ and you watch him, how often he sought for the souls of men and how often he was involved in reaching out to people and ministering to their lives, as he did to Zacchaeus in our foundation there in Luke 19. Amen? To seek and to save. That's what he came to do. Not only to seek them out, but to bring salvation. Hey, he brought salvation. There was something precious in his eyes to save, and it was mankind. Mankind was on a grease pole going to hell, and mankind needed to know Jesus Christ, needed to be saved from their sins. He sought them out, and he came to seek, not only to seek, but to save that which was lost. The fact that man was and is lost without Christ is stressed right there in that verse of verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You can sum up what Jesus came to do in verse 10 of Luke 19. That's what he came to do, the Son of Man. Now the Bible says, and I'll ask you to stand to your feet, in Acts chapter 4, go ahead, stand to your feet. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, reads this way, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven or under heaven given whereby men must be saved. Jesus is not one of the ways to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way. There's not 100 million different ways to God. The Hindu religion proclaims that we are all like the river Ganges and we're all going to end up in the ocean somehow. The ocean being heaven, and that we're all taking different routes to get there. Not so. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus was very narrow-minded. Jesus had tunnel vision. He knew exactly who he was. He's not saying there are all these different ways to get to the Father. There was one way. It took a sinless, spotless sacrifice. God, in the form of a human being who laid aside, set aside his deity, even though he was fully God in the flesh, he put that aside and functioned as a man to give you and I an example of how we can function in this earth. And if he said, the works I do, shall ye do also, then you better believe that that's the truth. The works I do, shall ye do also, John 14, verse 12. Come on. He said it. We believe it. That settles it. Jesus walked. Jesus walked a sinless, spotless life, choosing to obey the Father. You and I are to emulate that in our lives. No, you're not God. I'm not God. We never will be. But we have God living in us tonight. He's the one that caused the new birth. When you invited Christ into your heart, he changed. He took that old nasty heart of stone that was unforgiving and constantly drawn to do ungodly things and replaced it with a heart of flesh. A born-again man or woman who now has authority in the name of Jesus is filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. He's the one who came in that caused the new birth, guys. So he lives there. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So come on, we have authority in that name. Yes. Too many times Christians don't think on that long enough and meditate on that and practice that. But that's where we're at tonight. You and I, as born again men and women, we can do the same works Jesus did. See, if he did them as deity and then he told you and I to do them, that'd be unfair because we're not deity, right? But when he said, the works I do shall ye do, we can do them in his name. We lay hands on the sick. The Bible says they recover. We cast out devils. They have to leave. Why? They have to obey the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. When we believe God for our needs to be met, I tell you what, so many people in the church world get hung up on prosperity. And they get all bent out of shape about prosperity. But the fact is, What's a big deal to God if he gives you a car? Think about it for a minute. If he was ever going to withhold something that was so precious, he never would have given us Jesus. There's nothing more valuable than the blood of God. And you get bent out of shape about somebody driving a nice car, or you get messed up because somebody has a nice home or you know, money in the bank, and as a Christian, you should be poor as a church mouse. That's not right. The mice around here are not poor. Amen. Look under your chair. No, don't. I'm teasing. We don't have any mice. Although I'm not saying that we have never had a mouse. Let me tell you a little story. No, I won't. I actually, one day I walked in, and I've got to tell you, you know, I opened this thing up. I walked in, and I looked, and this mouse is looking at me. I'm like, well, what are you doing here? And he took off running, and he ran to the back, all the way back to the resource center. So I chased him. You know, those little guys are fast. So I got back there, and I was like, okay, Lord, I need to find that mouse. So I went and I grabbed a glove. I don't know where I had. I guess it was I had a pair of driving gloves. So I went in and I grabbed a glove and I went in the back and I said, in the name of Jesus, show yourself. Okay? I'm serious. I was here by myself, but I said, show yourself. I kid you not. The Lord is my witness. I walked in there and I heard this like scuffling, and he had jumped up on top of a, we had a bag covering flowers, and he got on top of that thing, and he couldn't get no traction. I reached over there, picked them up, and took them all the way to the back, and put them up there so they could go up and visit the trailer park. Amen. Hey, I know from experience that I let them go a little too close, and they came right back one other time. So that's anyway. So show yourself. You ever done that with a fly? Show yourself in the name of Jesus. I don't have all night to wait on you to land somewhere. Show yourself. I'm not teasing. I'll do that. And it's like, poop, there he is. Bam. Bless you. You're going to, you know, anyway. But come on, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for your goodness. We thank you for the Son that has been given to us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the new birth. We thank you, Lord God, that you thought so much of us that you gave us the most valuable gift mankind could ever receive. Everything else pales in comparison to that. What's the big deal if somebody's blessed with something when you gave the gift that goes way beyond a car, a home, or a pile of gold? It doesn't really matter. Lord, you gave us the best gift in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We will put Jesus first. We'll seek first him, his rule and reign in us. All that other stuff that, yeah, it's nice to have some things. We thank you that you take care of us so that we can help other people, as we did tonight in this offering. In Jesus' name, we bless you and give you glory for that, sir, in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Amen.